Praise God. It's good to be in church again this morning, isn't it? My, I feel the presence of the Lord here today. And we didn't expect less. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there he will be in the midst of us. And he is here today. So we want to respect that and appreciate the presence of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in convention, holiness convention? And we have a lot of names that we use for our gatherings together, you know, revivals, camp meetings, fellowship meetings. And I just kind of like that title, Holiness Convention, you know, the convention, gathering together of people from various places and but under a single banner that unites us. Amen. Holiness. Holiness Convention. And I was thinking about that this morning. They have their political conventions, you know, the Republican convention, and they come from many different states, all the different representatives, but they're similar in that they're affiliated with that particular group, you know. And I've heard of them having medical conventions, and there's a profession gathering together. There, you know, it's not construction workers and restaurant workers. It's medical profession. But among them, there might be surgeons. There might be, you know, general practitioners and all of that. But they're gathered together under the, you know, the medical profession. This is a holiness convention. Amen. And while there may be, you know, some differences, we don't emphasize those differences. We emphasize what brings us together and our desire to draw closer to the Lord and get more of God. We certainly need it in these last days. Amen. Certainly need revival. Praise God. I felt the Lord speaking to us last night as Brother Webb was preaching to us, didn't you? Challenging us to be conscious of souls in these last days and paying the price to win souls, and I certainly want to take that with me as an evangelist. Oh, you know, we're desperate for a move of God to see souls saved in these last days. Amen. I'm just curious, how many other evangelists are here this morning? Do we have other evangelists? I know of at least one. Amen. Any others? Brother Roger Payton? You and I are the only evangelist here. Amen. Hallelujah. And Tony Walker. All right. I thought Brother Tony was pastor. He's going to be preaching after a while and looking forward to that. And I keep thinking this is a young man's job, but we're doing what we can while we can, right? I'm glad to be in service with Brother Roger Payton, too, an old friend of ours. And amen. Good to see them. All right. You ready? Praise God. Certainly appreciating all of this hospitality we've been enjoying. Wonderful meals and all of the local church folks working so hard to take care of us out-of-towners. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother Peach made the burritos last night. Is that right? All right. Sister Peach, did you help him or did he help you? He did it? Now he told me yesterday he was going to have to go home and make 400 burritos. Now, if I say something like that, that generally means I'm going to sample the ingredients while she makes them. But he really did make them. They were good, weren't they, last night? Let's give him a hand. I enjoyed that. Thank you so much. Praise God. I'm going to read this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to read there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Last year I was on my way to Indiana. We were on our way to Indiana from Oklahoma, I think. It was a long trip. And I'd been sick. Turned out that I had pneumonia. But I'd got very feverish and just sick and energy gone. And I ended up going to a little clinic to see if I could get some something to fight that off with. And so I went in there. I'm not even feeling like holding my head up. I'm burning up with fever, shakes all over. And I get into the little room. and sitting there waiting for somebody to come in. And finally, this man comes in with a clipboard, and he's got stethoscope around his neck, and he walks in, and he says, "Hello there, I'm Phil, and I'm your pa." I looked at him about like you're looking at me right now. And then he pointed to his name tag, and he said, "Physician's assistant, PA, get it?" Now, how are you going to laugh about that when you're burning up with fever and you're shaking all over? Just get me some help here. But he thought it was funny, you know. "My name's Phil, and I'm your pa." "Hello, my name's Mike, and I'm your pa." "Physician's assistant, that is. I'm not the physician, but I'd like to think of myself as one of his assistants this morning." Praise God. Let's stand together and read Ephesians chapter 5. And if this looks familiar to you, it's probably because you were here yesterday. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Sound familiar to you? Praise God. I'd like to preach with the Lord's help this morning. Be filled, part two. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We need your help, Lord. We thank you that you have already visited us in the singing and the testifying, Lord, and the quoting of your word. But now, God, we pray as we come to the preaching part of this service that you would enable us and help us, touch us. We pray for your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Prescott, you want to tell me the secret on this? Or? You may be seated. Praise God. You might tell I'm starting to lose my voice, so that may be a blessing for some of you, but for me, it creates difficulty, so please pray the Lord to give me strength this morning. I want to read you another portion of Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is one of our favorite portions of Scripture, we Pentecostal people. Amen. And this is where we trace our history. And a few months ago, back in November, I think it was, we were preaching revival there at Asheboro, North Carolina. Brother Matt Gunner is the pastor there. And during the revival, he took us on a little day trip up near Liberty, North Carolina, to a place called Sandy Creek. And there's a historic church there. Anybody ever been there to Sandy Creek, North Carolina? All right, a few of you. And it's a place where three Baptist denominations claim their origination. And there's memorials set up. There's big stone marble memorials all around the grounds. The more modern church was actually built back at the turn of the last century, around 1900. But the old log church is still standing there up on the hill. And it dates back to the 1700s. And there was one there before that that had burned. And then before that, before there was any church, there's some plaques that remind visitors that George Whitefield, the famous evangelist of the early 1700s, had preached somewhere on that hill before there was even a church. So I was standing on or near the place where George Whitefield had preached. And so here's all these memorials to the founding of the Primitive Baptist Church, the Missionary Baptist Church. I'm not sure about the Southern Baptist Church, but they say that they all originated there, which actually means there are memorials to a great church split. All right? And yet, it was intriguing to me. I enjoyed it. A lot of history there. But I couldn't help but think that we Pentecostal people have our memorials too. They may not be stone monuments. They may not be etched in plaques hanging on a wall somewhere. But we do have our memorials, praise God. Thank God for those places where we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The camp meetings and fellowship meetings and holiness conventions like this. But if we were going to trace back our history, it wouldn't just be Azusa Street there in Southern California or Topeka, Kansas, or the other great historic revivals in America. Amen. Our monument is in Acts chapter 2. Praise God. I said our monument is Acts chapter 2. And the real memorial's been erected in a upper room somewhere over in Jerusalem. And the Bible says here, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Somebody say amen this morning. Praise God. I want to preach with the Lord's help, Be Filled, Part 2. Yesterday we talked about, and I told you that I was basically working backwards through the normal development of a train of thought, and started with the example of this and used Barnabas as my example of a man full of the Holy Ghost. But I want to talk today not just about the example. I want to talk about the experience itself. The experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now there's some terminology here that if you'll give me just a few minutes, I want to try to work through. In Ephesians here, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And by the way, if the Lord doesn't change my mind between now and then, I'm planning on doing part 3 tomorrow, and I want to contrast with that part right there. Be not drunk with wine. So we'll come back to that maybe tomorrow. But here he says, "But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit." Now, that word filled is an obvious word to us, and when I did some study of the word, there were no surprises there. It means what it says there, to be filled, as in filling a cup to capacity, or filling a bottle to capacity. And so that's exactly what he means. But that's not the only word that's used in the New Testament that relates to the experience that we're referring to here. Amen. There are several words that refer to the experience of the first receiving of the Holy Ghost into a person's life. Another word is the word baptize. Amen. Seven times the New Testament refers to being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus was coming to baptize John in water. And John the Baptist told us, "There is one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie." Amen. When he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. And that term was repeated in the book of Acts. And there was a repetition of what John said about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now that word baptized means to immerse. It means to immerse, to put under, to completely cover with. Hallelujah. Oh, we believe in being baptized with the Holy Ghost, don't we? Amen. There's a third word that is much more limited. In fact, it's only used one time. It's the word endued. And Jesus said that we should go to Jerusalem, or told the disciples that they should go to Jerusalem and tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Amen. I really believe that he was referring to that experience that we just read about. That outpouring of the Holy Ghost, where in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's a connection between the word endue and this experience of being filled. The word endued means to be clothed with. It actually means a dropping on of a garment. Let the garment come down over you and clothe you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. To be endued from on high is to let the garment from on high come down over us and clothe us and give us the power, the authority that we need in our walk with the Lord. Now, there's also another, a fourth word, and there may be others that I'm not thinking of. So if you have some other ideas, please share them with me. But this fourth word is simply to receive the Holy Ghost. To receive the Holy Ghost. Paul had asked the disciples at Ephesus, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Amen. They said, "We haven't even heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." And then he prays for them, and they received the Holy Ghost. 9 times that phrase is used in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Acts. It means to take for oneself. To take for oneself. Or to lay hold of. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Have you received since you believed? Praise God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need an experience in God. Amen. We need to be filled with, baptized in, endued with, and to receive an experience in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. I'm glad this morning. Thank you so much. I don't usually do this, but I may need to this morning. Amen. That word filled with the Spirit. Now that's an unusual phrase there. The word here, filled with the Spirit, it really only appears a few times in the Bible, and oddly, it's 3 times in the Old Testament and only 1 time in the New Testament where it talks about being filled with the Spirit. And those 3 times in the Old Testament refer to specifically, a man by the name of Bezalel, who was assigned the responsibility to developing and designing and doing the craftsmanship for the garments of the priesthood and other things related to the priesthood. And God said to Moses that I'm gonna fill him. He's a man filled with the Spirit in order to do these. This craftsmanship, amen, to consecrate Aaron to the priesthood. Hallelujah. Amen. And gifted, filled with knowledge, wisdom, and ability that God had given him. I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, wouldn't you? Would you lift a hand this way and just pray that God will touch me and I'll get a drink of this water and we'll go on. Praise the Lord. Now there's another term here that I think is worth looking at. And actually Brother Prescott brought it up yesterday at the end of this the message here in Ephesians when he said be filled with the Spirit. That term there is actually has 2 distinct meanings and yet the same. It is be and being. Amen, at the same time. We read in other places, for instance, where the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord. That is not just to have an experience that one time overcomes discouragement or fear. Amen. But it means to walk in a continuous state of strength in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Similarly here, I believe that He is not just talking about a one-time experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about a continuous state of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I do believe that there is an initial experience filled, baptized, endued, or receiving to yourself the Holy Ghost. Amen. But that it wasn't intended for us just to feel some great emotional impact upon our life, some dramatic experience that we can point to like a memorial. It's supposed to be an ongoing, life-changing, a life-empowering experience to have the Spirit of God in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Oh, praise God. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. Praise God. I said He abides. Amen. The real question here then is not so much have you ever been filled with the Spirit, but are you filled with the Spirit? Amen. What about our spiritual temperature now? Come on now. I said our spiritual temperature now. Now remember, I'm just your pa. Amen. I'm just your pa. Praise God. He's the great physician. I'm just a physician's assistant. I just came to kind of take the temperature a little bit and ask you a few questions and let Him make the diagnosis and you work it out. Amen. A solution. But I believe that God wants us to have a revival, and that will start when we begin to be honest with ourselves. Are we filled with the Spirit? Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I sure need it myself this morning. Amen. Let's talk about not just the experience explained, but this experience obtained. Amen. There may be some among us today who have never been filled, baptized, endued, or received the Holy Ghost. And let me just tell you, I believe that that to receive the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, does require some energy invested. All right? Now, I don't mean by this, and I don't want to imply that we can work it up, but we do have to pray it down. It's not the speed or the volume of the music that brings a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said it's not the speed or the volume of the music that brings a move of the Holy Ghost. It's not all the physical contortions that we get in that bring a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't think that to receive the Holy Ghost that it necessarily involves rolling or running. Amen. Though that might happen when you receive Him. But that's not how you receive Him. You don't work it up. It's not a matter of jumping or shaking or shouting that brings the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you will have to invest some energy in it. Hello? Praise God. In the case of the disciples, Jesus had told them to go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. The original Pentecostal story starts out with Jesus Himself just having come through Easter time. We know that Jesus was crucified around the time, the day before the great Passover feast of Israel. That's why they had to speed up the process, clear the hill of the dead bodies there, and because they wanted to clean things up for Passover. Jesus was crucified around Passover. He was put in the grave. And then on the first day of the week, He arose from the grave, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And He's alive today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, we know that it was around Passover that this happened. Now, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 that He was seen according to Luke in verse 3, that Jesus, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus rose from the dead and was seen among the disciples in various places and situations for 40 days. So many things happened before Jesus went back to the Father. Now this time frame is important to us, so hold on for just a second. Because we know from the Old Testament that the Feast of Pentecost was a feast that took place precisely 50 days after Passover. In fact, we that, you know, love this word Pentecost and Pentecostal might be surprised to think that it doesn't really have a deep spiritual interpretation. It simply means 50 days. It's the feast of 50 days after Passover. It has to do with harvest. And so Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, they had reached that time when it was to be the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days. Jesus was here on the earth 40 days. So that tells us that when He went away and He told them, after being seen of them 40 days, being assembled, verse 4, chapter 1 of Acts, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, there it is again, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Woo! Oh, glory. Amen. And then the Bible tells us that they went to Jerusalem and did what Jesus said. That's in chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. They went up into an upper room, and verse 14 says this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Amen. They all continued in prayer and in supplication. Here's the investment of our energy. Amen. It is in their obedience to the Lord first in doing what He said and waiting for this endowment. It is in their gathering together and fellowshipping one with another. It is in their prayers and it is in their supplication and waiting on God. In other words, tarrying does not mean find a place to sit down and just wait for something to happen. For 10 days, they gather together in an upper room in Jerusalem, and not just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, they were seeking God. They were praying. They were supplicating with God. They had this matter of one accord. It was a unity among them, but it was a unity of purpose towards God. They had gathered together for this purpose of receiving the endowment of power that would come from above. I'm going to tell you, it requires some concentration. It requires some purpose. Amen. You're not going to receive the Holy Ghost by accident. There has to be some desire in you for it. Some hunger in your heart for it. Amen. You're going to have to want more of God. You're going to have to seek for more of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not enough. And we're certainly glad. All of you pastors, I'm sure, would say amen. Certainly glad for everybody that comes to every service. And glad that they're there. But we all know that it's not enough just to be there. Amen. Where's your heart in the matter? Now this is of utmost importance to us in the day in which we live. Because even we holiness churches and Pentecostal people are seeing and being affected by so many distractions all around about us. Hello? And none the least, amen, the cell phones and the smartphones and all of the gadgets that we have. Praise God.
I got done preaching not too many weeks ago and come down off the platform and make an altar call, and some had already gathered around, and I'm still sort of preaching and praying as I'm going, and I get down here and I see somebody down here between the pews. Amen. A man sitting down here on his knees between the pews, and he's got his iPhone in his hand, and he's, amen, and he's checking his email. Amen. Gave the impression that he was seeking after the Lord, but his heart wasn't in it. I said his heart wasn't in it. Listen, we're going to have to deal with the distractions of our life. We're going to have to make up in our mind that we're here waiting on God. We are here hungry for God. That we want something from God. Amen. We've all seen it, and we all know that it's true. There's a lot of texting going on even in our holiness churches. Amen. We're gonna die spiritually with our cell phones in our hand. Amen. We're not gonna have revival until we deal with the distractions in our life. Go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God. Every time I make a comment along these lines, I almost feel the feedback. Now, Brother Blue, amen, I'm a fireman, or I'm a nurse, and I'm on duty, and I've got to check my email. All right, I understand that. I understand that. I've had people say, now, Brother Blue, I've got this iPad here, and that's my Bible is on there. And one young lady come up and said, now, Brother Blue, you might have saw me, but I was taking notes on your sermon, putting it on my iPad. All right, I understand the technology. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just talking about we need to guard against the distractions of our life. If we're hungry for God, if we really want more of God, amen, we've got to realize that it's going to take some energy. We're going to have to invest something in this if we want to have a real experience with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Several years ago, I was preaching a youth camp out in Oklahoma. And the service got high one night, really high. In that case, the music was loud. The singing was loud. It was just a Pentecostal service. People were shouting. And it was, you know, a great service. And I noticed this young man come up, tall, real tall young man. And he came up and he had his hands in the air, and then he put them down to his side, and then he was just sort of looking around, and I saw him, amen, really working over a piece of gum in his mouth. And then I would notice that he would stick that thing up between his gum and his inner lip, you know, put it up there, and then his hands would go up in the air. And he'd try to, you know, start praying. And then I'd see it again. His hands come down. He'd get that thing back in place. And he'd try to get his hands back in the air. And he wanted, to get into service. But he had this distraction in his life. Amen. I saw his struggle, and so I went over to him, and I just, like I said, music loud. So I had to get right up in his ear, and I hollered into his ear, Scott, give me your gum. And I stuck my hand out like that. Don't mean to gross you out just before lunch here. But I saw a young man in trouble. The devil used anything to distract you. Come on now. Praise God. His eyes flew open. He saw my hand in front of his face, and he looked at me, and I nodded. Uh-huh. And so he did. And there it went. Amen. Amen. I said, now raise your hands and seek the Lord. And I walked over there, and I saw a preacher standing over by the side, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I held my hand out, and he held his hand out, and I put that gum in his hand and walked back over here to pray with Scott. Somewhere between here and there, Scott was on the flat of his back, amen, in the sawdust of that open-air youth camp. Amen. I'm telling you that we're going to have to deal with the distractions of our life. We're going to have to invest something in this. Are we here to seek the Lord? It's not just a matter of taking up space and sitting on a padded pew and saying that we were there. Amen. We're hungry for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want an experience in God. We need to invest something in it. Invest something in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in this case, they were praying and supplicating and waiting and worshiping. Can I encourage you to worship God while you're waiting? Amen. Worship God while you're waiting. Lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Say a glory to God and an amen every once in a while. And I believe that there's something about getting that mouth in motion in worshiping the Lord, that God can get a hold of that. Amen. And work in your life. But you can't just sit there staring at the wall and think, well, if God wants to give us a revival, it'll happen. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Y'all know Brother Steve Shanefelt. I know Brother Roger does. He just came from there. Brother Steve Shanefelt, he's tall. Amen. Big. I call him my twin brother. You ought to see us standing by each other. Amen. Brother Steve Shanefelt got the Holy Ghost in a revival I was preaching in Jersey, Georgia. I had to stand on the platform to lay hands on him. Amen. He's a big man. Praise God. They said that Brother Shanefelt, had done everything, amen, in multiple services, trying to get the Holy Ghost. They said that they'd seen him roll back and forth across the floor. He'd run, jump, dance, done everything, trying to get the Holy Ghost. And the night that he got it, amen, it was different from all of that. I saw him melt like butter in the sun. Boom, there he went and went to speaking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost came on and praise God. I'm telling you, amen, it's not a matter of working it up. It's not a matter of our contortions. You know what? It's not even a matter of our position. Now, this may be a little delicate for you, but the Bible does say that in that first Pentecost anyways, that the Holy Ghost filled the place where they were sitting. Amen. I don't think that they stayed sitting, but they were sitting when the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. And I bring that up just simply to say that if your heart is hungry for God and you're worshiping God, really, it's not all of the things that we add to it that bring a real visitation of God. I've been sharing a little of my testimony in the last few weeks because it's this time of the year. 40 years ago, this time of the year, I got saved 2 weeks before Easter, baptized in water on Easter Sunday, and I received the Holy Ghost 2 weeks after Easter. But I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. We were having a Bible study in the house where I'd got saved, a farmhouse on top of a mountain in West Virginia. We were having a Bible study. I was a brand new convert. And the people I was with said, "Now, Brother Mike, have you ever heard of the Holy Ghost?" And I was like those disciples at Ephesus. I had not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And so they said, "Well, let me read some scripture." And they opened up the Bible and they shared with me some about the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Spirit and what it could do. And I said, "If there's more of God, I want all that I can get." Amen. They said, "Well, you're going to need extra power to live for the Lord." And I said, "Well, then pray for me that I might receive it." I was sitting on the floor, cross-legged. Amen. A young man, hungry for the Word of God. And they were almost surprised by my eagerness to see God. I'm telling you that I wasn't rolling, running, jumping, shouting, even kneeling. I was sitting on the floor. And they began to pray. You can believe this or not believe it, but I was there. Amen. And the reality is, they didn't tell me how to speak in tongues. They didn't tell me what to do. They didn't tell me what to say. They prayed for me that I might receive the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God came down upon me. And suddenly I started talking in another language. Oh, praise God. Oh, glory. Praise God. Did I need more? Yes. Did I need training? Yes. Did I need knowledge? Yes. Amen. But there was a starting point. Amen. I had received an experience in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Since we're there, let me talk to you not only about the energy invested, but the evidence identified. Amen. The evidence identified. How do you know when you receive the Holy Ghost? Amen. Along with what I've already said, it's not running, jumping, shouting, dancing, or, amen, goosebumps going up and down your spine. That's not how you identify the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, there are other signs in the Bible that accompany believers. And there are signs and evidences that are to accompany, amen, Spirit-filled people. And there were things that happened on the day of Pentecost. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Woo, hallelujah. There were cloven tongues of fire that sat down on each of their heads. Miraculous. Wonderful. But the reality is that never happened again. Maybe other variations. But there are five instances of people receiving the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. And the first one in the upper room is the only place where fire was seen and wind was blowing. But there was a sign that kept cropping up, kept repeating itself. Every time that somebody in the book of Acts received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. Y'all looking at me funny now? I didn't come to pick a fight with anybody. Amen. I'm just assuming that this is a convention of holiness Pentecostal people, and that maybe we would all basically agree on this. But regardless, I believe the biblical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. That's not popular in modern church world. They try to dismiss it and downplay it, but I'm not ashamed of it. I believe it's real and I believe it's right, the speaking in tongues. Hey man, when I pastored over in Kentucky years ago, I was affiliated with a local Christian radio station. I had a program there, and so I met a lot of people coming and going out of that local Christian radio station. And there was a preacher in that area. It doesn't really matter what denomination he was, but he was a Baptist man, and he had a program, and he was opposed to Pentecostals in a very vocal way. And one day I heard him say on his broadcast, speaking in tongues is of the devil. I had an opportunity to meet him in that radio station one day, and I approached him. I called him brother, but amen. But just being respectful, I said, "Now, brother," I said, "I heard the other day what you said, talking about the Holy Ghost, and I heard what you said about speaking in tongues being of the devil." I said, "Now, sir, with all due respect, I want to plead with you not to say that again. I want to plead with you, sir, not to say that again." I said, "That's a very dangerous thing for you to say. You might not agree that tongues is for today. I can accept that. Say that. Say that you don't believe that the Holy Ghost and, Pentecostal is for today. I can accept that. But when you say it's of the devil, you ascribe the works of God to the devil. Amen. That you're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost." Amen. Day of Pentecost, it wasn't just the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles in the upper room. There was 120 in the upper room. It wasn't just men, there was women. Read it yourself. Amen. And they all spake with tongues. Woo! Oh, glory. Praise God. Those disciples that we read about as the gospel began to spread, and we see that the disciples at Ephesus received the Holy Ghost, they were speaking in other tongues. Amen. The Apostle Paul received the Holy Ghost. Now, just a little point here. It doesn't say in Acts that Paul, when he received the Holy Ghost, he spoke in tongues. But he himself wrote later to the Corinthians, and he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And he was the one writing about tongues and interpretation of tongues and all of that. We know that he spoke in tongues. Amen. And then there's a place in there where Peter and James lay hands on believers and they receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say, now four out of five in the book of Acts definitely are connected with speaking in tongues. And in that one, James and Peter, they lay hands on them, they receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that they spoke in tongues, but something happened because there was a man there by the name of Simon who pulled out his wallet and he started offering money. Give me this power so that I can lay hands on them and let them receive the Holy Ghost. But what the Bible says there is, when he had seen, amen, that they had received the Holy Ghost. So something happened there, that there was a demonstration that convinced Simon that they were receiving something that he wished he could give. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't have to be ashamed of speaking in tongues. We don't have to be ashamed of it. It's biblical. It's right. I believe it's the initial sign evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to have anybody teach you to do it either. There was a book in a Christian bookstore years ago. Amen. How to Receive the Holy Spirit. And I picked it off the shelf. The back flap cover fell open. The weight of it. You know why? There was a little disc in the back, a little record. And it says, included in this book is an actual recording of speaking in tongues so you can learn how to do it too. Amen. You don't have to have anybody teach you how to do it. I was ignorant. I was a novice. I was a beginner. And nobody taught me how to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you pardon me just a second? I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that there's a great assault against Pentecostalism today. Amen. And it's not just outside in other denominations, though we realize they don't teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're afraid of it. They have associated it with fanaticism of all kinds. And so many multitudes of Christians today aren't even hearing teaching on the Holy Ghost. But if we're not careful, this same coldness is gonna inch its way in to our Pentecostal services. And we're going to back away from it for the same reasons. We're afraid of the fanaticism. We're modern now. We don't need, all of these displays and all of that. But I'm telling you, I believe that we need a Pentecost again now. Amen. Especially now. More than ever before, we need, amen, the experience of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need the experience of the Holy Ghost. American consumerism and materialism has created a version of Christianity that is now success-oriented more than spirit-oriented. We need to get back to the Spirit. Amen. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I hope that y'all listen in while I just preach to myself for a while. Hallelujah. Amen. You preach a direct, definite, life-changing experience with God. You preach the gospel. You preach the truth. There may or may not be large crowds. You talk 10 ways to have your best life ever and smile real big. It'll fill stadiums. Hello. Amen. We want happiness instead of holiness. We want blessing instead of sacrifice. I don't know exactly what this term means. I keep reading it and I can't find a definition of it. I don't know for sure what they mean, but they keep referring to the emerging church. Do you see it? The emergent church? The emergent church. I read descriptions of it. Ultra-modern, not just charismatic, but changing everything. The emergent church, what the church is becoming. I'm telling you, we are witnessing not the emerging church, we're witnessing the submerging church. The sinking, amen, of the church. Unless we have a revival, my friends, a real move of the Holy Ghost and an experience in God, we're in trouble. But I've got news for you. I believe in the possibilities of revival in the last days. Amen. I believe in the potential for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost even as we speak. Amen. I believe, amen, that as America begins to implode, corrode, amen, however you want to say it, collapse, and I think it's on the horizon. We're witnessing the implosion of a great society. America's about to collapse. But I believe that in the ashes of that collapse, it may just make people realize how much they need God. Amen. And if so, we need to be in a position where we can help them. We need to have some power in our life that we might be able to direct them and guide them. We need to be ready for revival. We need to be seeking God for it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Amen. I believe that we can have an experience of the Holy Ghost. An experience of the Holy Ghost. We need it now more than ever. I remember when I was pastoring over in Missouri, I hadn't been there too long, maybe a few months, and I began to realize they're good people, holiness people, love the Lord, faithful people, but there was something missing. And one night I preached on the Holy Ghost and I asked, how many of you have not yet received the Holy Ghost? And at least a third, if not more, of my adult congregation had never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Even though the sign out front said we were a Pentecostal church. Amen. I started preaching more in that direction and praying more in that direction. We had an evangelist come to hold revival. Praise God, the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. In fact, we had two revivals a few months apart. In the first revival, 19 received the Holy Ghost. Not all from our church, some of them from visiting churches. But I saw the power of God fall. Praise God. Amen. They were getting the Holy Ghost back in the Sunday school rooms before the services even started. Prayer meetings, seeking God, hungry for God. Something had happened. And let me tell you that in the next revival, we had 21 or 22 filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was life changing. It was church changing. An anointing, a fresh anointing had come upon our body of believers. The choir that had great talent before now had anointing to go with it. And we'd go to youth rallies and our choir would get up and sing and the power of God would fall down. It wasn't their talent and their harmony or their song. It was a new and fresh anointing that had come upon us. We need it now. We need it now. We need it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let me tell you this. I don't give the credit for those revivals to the evangelist. If I'm going to give the credit to anybody, I'm going to give the credit to one young man in our church, a teenager, amen, who caught the vision and he asked, Brother Blue, can I come out after school and spend some time in prayer? And I told him, no, we don't allow that here. No, 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 no. Just seeing if you're still awake, that's all. Amen. Yes. Praise God. And he came out for days after school, a teenager, seeking the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Sonny Griswold, I've just noticed last night, amen, some of your young people raising their hands and praising God. And I've seen it here this morning. Oh, give me a teenager that's hungry for God. Give us a teenager that wants revival. Give us somebody, anybody. Give me a gray-haired saint that'll say, I need the key to the church to pray for revival to come. Amen. And praise God and seek God for the experience of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Give me a child that wants God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the story that Brother McGeechee used to tell about a revival service they were in. He called for those that needed the baptism to come forward. It just so happened that night there was 12 men that came forward that needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, stand across the front here and let's seek the Lord. Just worship God. Amen. Let's pray that somebody will be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. 12 men standing in a row across the front of the building. And people are waiting, praying, worshiping God. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move. Amen. Somewhere over here, a young girl of about 12 years old, amen, started shouting and praising God. She came out of the pews dancing and praising God, shouting, a 12-year-old girl. Amen. When she got up towards the front, shouting around there, she bumped in to one of the men standing there. Whew, hallelujah. Amen. When she bumped into that man, the Holy Ghost fell down on him and he passed out. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And went to speaking in tongues. And when he fell over, he hit the next guy beside him. Amen. And the Holy Ghost fell on him. And he went to speaking in tongues and fell over and hit the third man. Well, you got the idea. When it was all said and done, like a stack of dominoes, they all ended up in a pile in the middle of the church. Amen. Praising God, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it happened when a 12-year-old girl, amen, gave herself over to God. Give me a child filled with the Holy Ghost, or a teenager filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in revival. Praise God. Amen. I gotta finish this up. I gotta finish this up. But let me tell you something. I'm seeing signs around the country. I'm seeing signs that something's happening. Something's stirring. Amen. Things are happening. It's not all gloom and doom. It's not all bad. Amen. We're not seeing maybe the great and mighty thing that we're all dreaming and hoping for. But don't give up yet, pastors. Don't give up yet, saints. Come on now. Let's stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something's happening. Praise God. And so I want to give you this last point here. Besides, amen, the energy that needs to be invested and the evidence that we have identified, there is an evangelism that is intended, amen, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. An evangelism that is intended. He wants us to have the Holy Ghost so that we might be able to preach in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. That's what Brother Webb was saying last night, in a little different way, of course. But he was emphasizing to us paying the price so souls could be saved. Friends, we need to do what we have to do to pray through and get the power of God and reach out to a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Praise God. This year, January, this year, we're in revival at Tunnel Hill, Indiana. Brother Dallas Lakes is the pastor there. Y'all know Dallas Lakes down here? Amen. Good man. Holiness Church. There's a lady in that church, Sister Antonia. She's from Africa. Amen. A learned lady. She's a professor of linguistics at the University of Indiana, just about 15 miles from the church at Tunnel Hill. Amen. She's from Nigeria. Amen. She's a holiness lady. Got to looking for a holiness church. And when she found Brother Dallas Lakes and the Tunnel Hill Church, she said, oh, hallelujah, a church that doesn't believe in jewelry. Amen. Like me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And she got to come into that church. She got to bring in her students with her. Students from the linguistics program. University of Indiana, college-age kids that come every night, or just about every night of the revival. Amen. They were also from various countries in Africa learning English and other languages. studying under Sister Antonia's tutelage. Amen. And she would bring them, praise God, there in a holiness church. Amen. And revival services. I was preaching to people from the Sudan, Kenya, Nigeria, and there was Muslims among them. Praise God. I got to see some of them come to the altar. Praise God. And seek the Lord on several nights. Brother Lake said at one point, amen, one service, they had 20 Muslims in that service. 20 Muslims. And he pointed out a family in his church, a beautiful family, a man and his wife and their precious girls seeking the Holy Ghost each night. They were Muslims, amen, until just a few months before that revival. I'm telling you, amen, praise God. There are people in this world, they're sick of that violent, terroristic slant towards religion. They know it's not right. Some of them know it's not right. And those that have a hunger for God, they're looking for more. Praise God. And when they come looking, we better have something. Hallelujah. Whew. Y'all believe Muslims can get saved? Come to Jesus? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I was preaching in Texas just about three weeks ago. First service, I preached on the prodigal son, Brother Sonny. Hey man, you mentioned it a while ago. A young woman came up and prayed and cried. Afterwards, she said, "I'm the prodigal daughter." She said, 2 days ago, I was down in Florida. We're in Texas now. She was in Florida maybe three days before. She said, suddenly the urge come over to me that I needed to go home. I needed to go home. She said she was on a dead-end street. She said she had a $600 a day. Now, I've been trying to do the calculation here. That sounds phenomenal. Maybe she meant $600 a week. I don't know, but she said she had a $600 a day drug addiction. Amen. And she was on a dead-end street doing all that you have to do to support that lifestyle. Amen. Her life totally messed up, but the urge comes on her to go home. And she got there just in time for us to start revival. And the Holy Ghost stirred me to preach on the prodigal son. And she came and got saved. And I believe she got delivered. Praise God. I'm telling you, I believe that there's a possibility of revival. It's not going to come through programs. It's not going to come through 10-point plans on how to have a happy life. It's going to come from the power of the Holy Ghost and having an experience with Him. Would you stand and praise God? Would you stand and give Him the glory right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week we were in Prague, Oklahoma. Actually, the week leading up to Easter, so a little over a week. They call it their Easter revival from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. Every night, amen, there's a Mennonite family there. That's kind of strange to meet a man. Now, his parents were Mennonite missionaries to Mexico, and so he was born in Mexico. And so his name is something like Pedro Hostetler. Now that doesn't hardly, sound right. But Brother Pedro, amen, and his family, hungry for more of God. And their teenage son, I'd love to tell you that he went through to the Holy Ghost. But all I can tell you at this point is he was in the altar. Amen. And he got close and he was seeking and he was hungry. Let's not give up on the possibility of revival. Mennonites and Muslims and drug addicts. And that man, I was there the week after you, after the camp meeting, week and a half after you left El Mirage, Arizona. And I got there, and in that service, young man come fresh out of jail, his first service. Amen. Come to the altar. Amen. Fresh out of jail. I'm just telling you. We've got a work to do. Let's stay focused. Let's have faith. Let's keep believing. Let's keep praying and pushing. Amen. God's not done yet. There's a lot of things happening in the religious world around about us we don't understand. Modern American Christianity. But God's not done yet. Let us stay focused. Let's keep pushing forward. Let's keep filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And see what might happen. See what might happen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you one more time to lift your hands and praise the Lord and worship Him and ask Him to have His way in this service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. LaDonna, I know you haven't had much voice. She's been sick, kind of under the weather, just run down from recent travels. But you think from where you're at right there, you could start singing that song, Hallelujah, Thine to Glory. Revive us again. Amen. And wait on the Lord here for just a second. Brother, I'm sorry I preached so long. Oh, come on now, let's sing it as a prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, yes. Add in that verse. Revive us again.